Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Haley B. Miller, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends. Welcome to Ohio Politics Explained, the marijuana buzzkill edition. Today, we'll discuss the latest on abortion access in Ohio, a new bill to deal with parking payments, why marijuana users can't smoke in public, and how Sam Randazzo's Christmas costume ended up in court filings. Today, I'm excited to say we're joined by the newest reporter on our team, Erin Glenn. Welcome to your OPE debut.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Before we get going, my shameless plug of the day. If you like OPE, please consider leaving us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts. So let's kick things off with a new lawsuit over abortion access. Providers want the state to throw out its 24-hour waiting period for abortions and a law requiring doctors to test for cardiac activity. Currently, doctors have to tell patients about the medical risks of an abortion or carrying a pregnancy, and also tell them the likely age of the embryo or fetus. This is the first lawsuit, post-issue one, which enshrined the right to abortion and reproductive health in the Constitution. There's another one pending over the state's ban on most abortions, which is likely going to be declared unconstitutional. Erin, remind us why we're spending so much time in the courtroom over abortion.
Yeah, so I think the question is now whether these requirements are unconstitutional. The amendment says that the state cannot burden or interfere with a person's right to make their own reproductive decisions. And the Attorney General's office has said that the court needs to consider each individual provision or requirement to determine whether it violates the Constitution now.
And I think, you know, like I said, this is the first lawsuit post issue one, but there are a lot of other abortion restrictions on the books in Ohio. So I think we can expect to see more and more lawsuits over, you know, like the Down syndrome diagnosis and abortions related to that. Can you think of any other examples? There are just so many that I'm like spacing right now.
Yeah, I know there's the requirements, mandatory waiting periods that the doctors need to provide literature from the state to patients about alternatives to abortion. So right. I think that's tied in with the mandatory waiting period requirement.
And I've been kind of surprised, I don't know about you, that we haven't seen a ruling in the lawsuit over the ban on most abortions, also known as the six-week ban. That lawsuit actually kicked off before the election over issue one in November. And now that decision is back before a Hamilton County judge because the Ohio Supreme Court decided not to take it up. And it just seems like any day now we could hear something on that.
Right. And originally the Attorney General, I believe, said that the constitutional amendment would invalidate that law, but then seemed to change his mind later on.
Yeah. Our colleague Jesse Ballmer covers abortion pretty extensively for us, and she found a filing in the Hamilton County case from Yost that is really wonky. He basically says he thinks the core of the law is unconstitutional. He's not going to dispute that, but he said other parts of it should still be intact, including that requirement to test for cardiac activity.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out in court.
Yeah, it's very complicated. And, you know, as I think we've discussed on here before, while issue one passed in November, it didn't magically make abortion access legal in Ohio.
True crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello, plus better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dan. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
Our next topic today is a bipartisan bill that would set rules for how people pay for parking. Two state lawmakers want to require cities to accept cash and credit card payments for parking, in addition to mobile payments from apps or QR codes. They say it would make systems more accessible for people who may not have smartphones. What are people saying about this? Is this like...
Yeah, I think critics of the bill say that there doesn't need to be a state law to address this. This is something cities and towns could handle on their own. And yet the lawmakers, want to make sure that older Ohioans and people without smartphones will be able to pay for parking.
I feel like I mainly use the app in Columbus. What have you seen? Like, what's available in Cincinnati? That's where you're from. What are the parking options there?
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone uses the Cincy Easy Parking app, although I do like to get rid of coins through parking meters, and there's a lot in Cincinnati that still take coins.
I was recently looking for change in my wallet the other day and discovered I still had pesos from Mexico, which I assume I cannot use to pay for parking. So not helpful. But, you know, to your point about this being kind of a local issue, I do think it's an interesting thing to come up in the state legislature. And we've seen lawmakers in Columbus try to regulate a lot of different things at the local level, even though Ohio says that it's big on local control. So this is just another interesting example of that, I think.
And a less controversial example, maybe, than the gun regulations.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone, you know, we all have to pay for parking, for better or worse. Our third topic today is marijuana and why you're not supposed to smoke it in public. So I did this story after I started dreaming of spring patio season. Ohio's new marijuana law falls under the tobacco smoking ban, so you can't smoke pot in enclosed public spaces. The smoking ban does allow exceptions for things like patios and hotel rooms, but that's not going to work for marijuana. Can you kind of walk us through the details here?
Right. So recreational marijuana became legal in December. So theoretically, Ohioans 21 and older could buy and grow marijuana. But since like legal sales aren't expected until September, I think there's still some confusion for residents and businesses over exactly what the passage of Issue 2 means.
And there's a lot of different things in the law about public use. On the one hand, it says that it's a minor misdemeanor to smoke in public areas. But then the law also kind of gives property owners, including public places, the freedom to either ban or allow marijuana use as they see fit. So I know one thing that the legislature and Governor DeWine have wanted to do is to kind of clarify the rules around this and make it clear where you can and can't smoke.
Right. And it's bars and restaurants that have liquor permits can't allow smoking on patios, right? Or at their risk of losing their permit.
Yeah. So liquor licensees, there's a rule as part of their permit where if you can't allow the use of any controlled substance on your property, so like you couldn't even pop an edible at the bar. So even though the smoking ban doesn't apply there, that is also not allowed. But I'm curious how well this will be enforced. I mean, what do you make of that? I feel like, especially with it just being a misdemeanor, people may just kind of smoke on the sidewalk if they want to anyway.
Right. I think we definitely won't see people smoking as much on patios because bars are wary of losing liquor licenses. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much the public use, the smoking ban deters public use.
And we are wrapping up today with the Randazzler, or Sam Randazzo, for those who are not best friends with him. Randazzo used to lead the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. He's been charged as part of the House Bill 6 scandal for accepting a bribe from First Energy. He was also accused of skimming money off of side deals that he put together between utilities and large energy users. A batch of new court filings released in Summit County showed just how chummy Randazzo was with First Energy executives and their allies. What did we learn from that?
Yeah, it definitely looks like Randazzo had a close, kind of joking relationship with First Energy executives. He sent them a picture of himself dressed as a superhero with, as you mentioned, the Randazzler in this kind of word cloud surrounding him.
What were some of the other ones again? It was like
the captain, dad.
Jeez. And there was another photo, right, of him dressed as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and a Christmas photo with some of them. So just very strange.
Right. You know, as this public official, he's supposed to kind of have an impartial relationship with these people. So the records show that maybe that's not what the relationship looked like.
Yeah. And we also found out that he may, you know, I think these side deals have gotten the most attention as it relates to First Energy. But it also sounds like he was involved in one and trying to cover up a pretty egregious one that happened with Duke Energy back in the day.
Yeah, Duke Energy paid this $80 million settlement over deals it gave GM and Marathon, deals that the average Ohioan wouldn't have had access to.
Yeah, I think we all wish we could get discounts on our energy bills, but
no doubt,
not the case. It definitely feels like, though, that state prosecutors are starting to turn the heat up on Randazzo. So it'll be interesting to see how these cases play out. I think, you know, as we've discussed on here before, the fallout of House Bill 6 is just continuing and continuing.
Right. And we should say Randazzo and the executives have all pleaded not guilty.
Correct. Yes. And one more thing before you go. Speaking of state house scandals, former House Speaker Cliff Rosenberger will return next week for the unveiling of his official portrait. He resigned in April 2018 under the cloud of an FBI probe over his travel with payday lending lobbyists, but he was never charged. Now, I think there's a space on the wall where Larry Householder's portrait used to be.
Right, it's now in storage after his conviction.
Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Ohio Explained.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.